tough being a kid nowadays, bro.
I bet it is. Because, I mean, the worst thing is that you get everything instantly. Like, all your entertainment comes, like, right now. Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, having to be patient.
Yeah.
And then, so you have no idea. I mean, I'm already a victim of that, though. Like, I'm used to, like, you turn on your internet and you're like, why aren't you faster? Yeah.
I had beef with my Verizon guy yesterday.
It's like, fam, your signal has to go to space real quick. It'll be back. It's like,
I mean,
give it a second.
Listen.
First things first, when I wake, with my wallet that I'm close to the cake. Got a dream with my dollar at, I deem that the green in my garden keep growing. Get more green than a whole home smelling like a bakery. Gotta eat like I gotta have a cake disease. I stay laced with the force and the fake.
What up, though, loved ones? Tis I, your boy and compelling protagonist, Handsome Bane, coming to you live. And it's a special day here. Your special guest, but first we're gonna get into the weekly what up though, your news. And by news I don't mean like, you know, this is what Agent Orange did today, or, you know, the latest police shooting or anything like that. We're talking strictly stuff that has to do with us that you probably care about, and try to be upbeat about everything that's happening around us. So right now, just want to big up our social media presence. It's, you know, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but, you know, we're creeping up inch by inch, and, we're meeting new people. Phil in the Circle just followed us. That's the guy who made the Bruce Lee picture with just chops, and then he like destroyed it. And then he made the Jimi Hendrix, painting out of nothing but matchstick heads, and then lit that on fire. Pretty dope, because I've been watching him since the warehouse days, and just like for Senpai to notice you is pretty dope. So yeah, we got that. We got some organic growth going on, and I think a lot has to do with our Inktober stuff, because you know, just kind of, I think when you shout other people out, then that brings more back to you. I don't know, maybe I don't have the keys quite yet, but yeah, I think that's what's happening. And, you know, like, I'm sincerely just trying to, you know, show some love. It's not about me trying to get people to look at us by mentioning somebody else, but it is me, like, you know, like, a lot of the people that I'm mentioning have, like, way more followers and way more of a presence than we do. But just by saying, like, hey, go check this person out, because I am genuinely appreciative of what they do art-wise, and whatever else, you know, when we start mentioning people for other stuff, because I'm definitely going to have like a cosplay month where we shout out cosplay. I do that all the time anyway, but, also, you remember, what's the guy's name who did, Nerds On, that Facebook group, he passed like a while back, but, He made me admin of the Nerds On group. So then that automatically made me an admin for another group. It's super weird, because it was like, I like just looked it up the other day, in my Facebook notifications popped up. It was like, somebody reported a comment. And I'm like, so? Like, and it was just like, somebody wants to join this group. And I'm like, what is going, like, I have no idea who, like, where did I get all this responsibility from out of nowhere? And then I looked, and it was like, oh, wait, that was dude Damien that I had, like, a couple of conversations with. And, yeah, so I don't know if he, like, bequeathed unto me this power on his deathbed or what. But it was really weird, because he knows Natalie.
Oh.
Uber dork.
Oh.
Cheetah.
Yeah.
Stop. My daughter's in the studio today, and all the way up until we hit record, she was silent. And now she wants to start making noise. So, We'll fix it in post. I'll make it louder. Anyway, but yeah, so I mean that was kind of cool. But
out of all the things you could be bequeathed.
Yeah, I was just like, who? Like, huh? And it was just like the only link to all this stuff was Damien making me admin on the Nerds On group, which like hooked into Nerds Who Nerd Responsibly or something like that. I think the group is called. Which, but that's who I was getting of. I have started. Yes, I need you to be really quiet. Not yet. I told you I was going to call you on in a second.
Which, by the way, Damien's death was sad.
It was very sad, and I said at the beginning of this segment that I wasn't going to try to bum anybody out. But that was a bummer. That did bum me out. That sucked, and I didn't even know the guy. So, anyway,
you're responsible enough.
That's a lot of pressure. And I did review the comment. I was like, this is way out of line, and it did feel good to banish somebody. It was like, oh no, this guy has to die, a figurative death in this group. He's got to go. But speaking of doing some good in the world, we got to do something community based, bro.
What do you want to do?
We haven't done anything this year.
What do you want to do?
I'm getting to that, but I'm
you have an idea.
I do have an idea. It's going to take some doing, cause we got precisely 40 days to do it. 40 days to pull it off.
Before I think
we
can.
No, Thanksgiving.
Oh. Ooh.
Thanksgiving.
All right.
But I'll tell you what made me feel bad about it. And usually I don't need to be guilted into doing the right thing, but it was, we got the mail from, I got random emails and, you know, we used to do the breast cancer walk and all that. And it was just like, it's time. And I was like, I don't know, not this year, guys. I got a lot of stuff going on. And, you know, so you go from like 5 years, 6 years straight of doing the breast cancer walk and like making a big hubbub and going to the breakfast and all that stuff for it. And then just not. I think last year that was when I stopped because Jordan was just born. And that was just a lot.
Wait, isn't Jordan 3?
I'm sorry, it's 2 years ago. No, Jordan's 2. Jordan's 2. So, yeah, the last one I went to. I think actually I did go to that one after Jordan was born, and I felt like crap because, you know, Nicole.
We had her in the car seat, she was in a stroller.
She was there for one of them, or you might be, I don't know. But, yeah, I definitely stopped doing those for a couple of years. And then there was, so we did Extra Life last year.
Yeah.
And this was the killer. Extra Life sends me an email and says, was it something we said? And I was like, yo, it's like, fam, it's all right, man. It's not you, it's me. I'm terrible, you know?
It makes you feel so bad.
Yeah, and I was like, I mean, partially, part of me doesn't like to be guilt tripped, but then again, it was like, okay, that was whoever wrote that is good. There's still some year left. So what I do want to do, you know, everybody is going to start doing their toy drives. And I do intend to work with Loan if she's doing.
Loan Vu?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think she's doing toy drive again this year?
Let me send her a text.
Shoot her a text. Let's get her on the text. Let's see if we can do kind of a, you're going to love this one. It's a dad joke. So let's do a toy drive kickoff kickball game. Okay, I've been wanting to do a kickball game for a while, and it was 1 year we almost pulled it off, but it got cold and everybody laid off. And I was like, "Hey, what about children?" They was like, "It's cold." So, but yeah, I would still like want to go through her. Everybody bring their stuff to us, then everybody just throw it in Loan's car, and I think that would just kind of help her to jumpstart everything pretty easy. Because you feel a lot better. I know from experience, you feel a lot better doing toy drives and canned good drives, any kind of collection, when you start off with like a huge amount, and it's like, okay, we can still go up from here. We can crack whatever numbers we did before. And, you know, we still have, like, older kids that are going to be at, because it's still at the last time we went, she was at the women's shelter. And so, you know, those kids are older now, if they're still there. And the other thing is that you don't want to forget older kids. Everybody's like, oh, let's get toys. Let's get plush dolls and whatever is in the $5 toys, like whatever those little setup toys are over just there.
Throw your credit card through Five Below.
Yeah. I want us to kind of, you know,
do better.
Get some gift cards or whatever in there. And I trust Loan to, like, not take the gift cards and do bad things with them. So you can't trust everybody like that. But definitely.
She said she is not. She's been super busy. But she's going to see if there's a volunteering option.
Tell her to get somebody. Tell her we want to do a thing. And I mean, even if we do it, we can get her out of retirement. There's no way she's going to let that slide. Just send her an email that says, and it says, was it something we said? And she'll get right back on. She'll get right back in the field, on the field. I'll send her an email right now. I'm fairly confident we can get her back in the game. But speaking of getting somebody in the game, I'm going to ask my guest to press start and be player two and hop right in this interview. Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present to you Miranda Fantasy, or as we'll call her through this interview, Tatiana. Bring her in. Yay! Woo!
Morning. Ow! Hi!
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Good to have you.
Happy to be here.
Nice. We've been talking and we finally got it done, and so
I know, like, yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah,
thank you. I'm excited.
So, you know, just let us know a little more. Tatiana is a costumer, cosplayer. Yes. What's the difference?
Yes. Well, costumer is someone who I like to view as, and also think that primarily not only likes to dress up and cosplay themselves, but enjoys dressing other people into costume and making costumes for others as well. Okay. Typically speaking, a costumer has some kind of experience in the field, be it winning awards or actually working at a position, be it part-time or full-time, but they've worked with costuming and putting other people into costume. So.
Okay. All right. Mike, you want to just run some photographs of our friend Tatiana here as we just kind of, we'll get those up in a little bit. But in the meantime, let's talk about your experience. No, that is not her. That is not what we want. You know what? Let's do that thing since Mike has thrown us into. Wow, Mike, you've thrown us into the game.
Maybe there's a resemblance. Maybe.
That is you do amazing makeup work then for yourself. So okay, so since Mike is putting us in this game right now, we're gonna test your expertise here. Right now we have the old school Ben Cooper costumes. Where, for those of you who don't know what they were called, you more than likely wore one if it was like before 1989 when they went belly up. Ben Cooper costumes are the plastic smock and the plastic mask that slices your face off. It has the rubber band on the back. And so, and the plastic smock always, like if you're, so right now we're looking at Freddy Krueger. If you unfold that package, rest assured on the shirt, it says Freddy Krueger with a picture of Freddy Krueger on it. Like you didn't know you were Freddy Krueger. So that's just really weird. Like I had I know mine was, the first one I had was a Megatron with like a plastic smock that had Megatron on it that said Transformers.
Cool. So like Michael Bay
not
advertising.
Not cool at all.
Just blatant advertising.
Yeah,
in a movie.
It was just like, yeah. It's like, I know who I have. It's the cheapest, like, worst idea. So we're going to have you rate the costumes from 1 to 5.
Sounds good.
And with 10 being the highest and none of them ever being able to reach 10.
Cool.
So you're going to go 1 to 5. Freddy Krueger.
Listen, the smock is not that great, but the mask, I will have to admit, I've seen masks that are like that in some very cheap Halloween costume stores.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all that bad. I'd probably, I don't know, give it a solid 2.7,
oh, yeah.
almost a 3, yeah, we'll because of the mask. The mask is what is a tiny bit redeeming. I've seen yeah.
Let's go next. Oh, okay. So this was a Ben Cooper where they couldn't get the... I thought for sure they would get the Casper contract, but from what I understand, that this is not a Casper costume. This is a just... It's like a scary ghost. What do you think? I mean, it's horrifying.
It is.
It's nightmare fuel, definitely.
It's not the friendly ghost.
No, it's not. It's... Oh, man.
It's also kind of effeminate.
It is. See, now here, we have the opposite situation in, as opposed to Freddy, where the smock is not half bad. Creepy, but not half bad. That mask, man, that's nightmarish.
That is terrifying.
Yeah.
I think we're winning this one.
If you're on the ground.
Yeah. I give this one probably the same, maybe a rating a little bit higher, maybe a solid 3. Because that smock, although it is a creepy Casper, or, quote, Casper.
At least it doesn't say, yeah.
Right.
You can call him Jasper for now.
You can call him Jasper. There we go. Jasper the unfriendly ghost. Mm-hmm. And his very creepy mask. What kid would wear that, really?
Oh,
I'd be terrified to wear that.
All right. Next. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I have it right here, too, if you want to. Get a better look of it. So we got Darth Vader, because he has to have his face on his shirt so that he knows who he is.
Mm.
And essentially a garbage bag with a garbage tie around it.
Yeah.
So basically it's a
hefty trash bag. Yeah.
Yeah, that you can strangle yourself with.
Yeah.
So yeah.
See, the only, I don't know why I keep, to me, like the redeeming thing, because it's the first thing that my eye goes to, is obviously that Darth Vader print, that graphic on there, because it's not bad either. Like, that's pretty decent, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, in all fairness, like, I tried to find some that were, like, within, you know, because if you go 60s, right. 70s, it's all going to be pretty whack.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they're all pretty bad, but.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, even that doesn't really save the fact that it does look like you're wearing a trash bag and you just poked your arms out for sleeves. So it's going to have to be rated lower. I'd rate this probably a 1. That 1 is just for that Darth Vader.
Yeah.
Just for him.
Yeah, he wrote his name on the top of the paper. Yeah. Got points for that. Okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so you had an opinion about the Shulky.
I got a glimpse at this earlier, and I only saw it from the cheekbones, those strong cheekbones down.
Strong.
So, the mask looks like a bald doll mask.
Yeah.
Which is, you would never want to put that on your child.
Right.
Really. Never.
Like, boy or girl. Because I was the type, like, I mean, I really loved She-Hulk back in the day. So if you were just like... If you're like, hey, you want to be She-Hulk? I'm like,
right,
you know what?
Right. And again, the shirt.
I'm costume fluid. Let's
yeah.
do it.
The shirt, the smock, the graphic is not bad at all. If anything, she looks pretty cool. And that looks similar to the art that
portrayed it was like her first one.
Yeah.
I just want to, my thing with these is like, why do I need a picture of me on my own shirt?
Right, yeah.
It's weird, like.
It's reinforcing, you know what that mentality probably is? Like, the adults, most of the time, don't know what the kids are into.
Yeah.
So if you see a shirt and it says the name of the character, half the time the children will forget that that is even on their clothing.
Come on, Candy!
So it's like, oh, happy Halloween, oh my goodness, you're dressed as She-Hulk, you look so great.
Yeah,
and that
see?
Kid will just beam from ear to ear, you know? Like, that just makes their night.
Yeah.
Even though that adult will probably be like, she was green. Was she ill? What is going on?
That was a She-Hulk. All right, so what's your number? What's your number for blow-up doll lips?
Blow-up doll She-Hulk.
See, this is... I'll give it a... Oh, this is just as bad. I mean, the art on this is nicer than the art on the graphic for Darth Vader. So I'll give it a 2 for that She-Hulk graphic. But everything else, especially that mask, that...
That mask is great.
And this is kind of like the only one I've seen that had hair attached so far.
Well, the other one had a hat.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. The
Freddy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like this, they actually had to put some effort in, like, get a different material other than that same
right
vinyl that they, the face slicing vinyl that they've been using. Oh yeah, sheer.
Wait, just is that the devil from Futurama?
No.
That kind of looked to me like the devil from Powerpuff Girls, him?
Him, yeah.
For a split second.
But this was like the 60s, yeah. 70s.
So definitely like, not him.
No, you're just Beelzebub himself.
Yeah.
He's just like...
Well,
that's just awful. I.
Yeah.
That's not a kid's costume.
Yeah, this one, this is a zero. That, that unibrow that looks like the McDonald's M.
That is really... You know, my brother, my older brother always had a... He had a theory that, that Ronald McDonald was actually like Satan's boss.
Whoa.
We'll go into that someday. But yeah. And it was like if you ever seen the movie the Tom Cruise movie Legend, where he's like he's fighting a devil looking character. I don't know if he's exactly supposed to be. But at the end of it he Tom Cruise's character wins and my brother says he looks me in the eye and says, and that is how you get a McDonald's shut down. And I was like, all right. He was that serious, too.
I've never seen the movie, but I have to now.
Yeah, Legend is what it's called. All right.
What are we rating this one?
Oh, Devil got
this
a zero.
This is a zero, yeah. Damn. A zero.
Okay, so double duty on this one. I saw this one was just like, oh, wow, they were just making costumes out of everything.
Yeah, clearly.
So, Flipper and or the Rubik's Cube, because we can just move on these two.
I mean, I will say that they're a tiny bit better than probably the rest of them, just because they look more generic. You can't yeah. really, if you mess up a dolphin, much less a Rubik's Cube.
Flipper
then
didn't even wear a shirt.
He didn't. But then that would be inappropriate for a child.
I'm just a dolphin, baby.
Just give him a gray bodysuit, call it a day.
It would be more effective.
These ones, you know what? I'll rate them a little higher because as silly as they are, they look good.
The Rubik's Cube, yeah. Like if I went into a place, I mean the different colored legs.
Yeah. I think the legs and the arms a little much, but honestly, if that were on like a t-shirt, I would probably wear yeah. that, you know? So yeah, I would rate these a little higher. Let's give these guys like let's give them a 4. All They're right. not bad. Yeah.
All
right. Wait, is the Flipper a onesie? What yes, is that?
That is a onesie.
Ooh. Maybe bring Flipper down to like a 3.5.
Hey, I'm moving. And well, let's talk a little
a
bit more before we
no.
Let's do a couple more questions about other things first, and then we'll go through our nice slideshow here with Tatiana. So we were talking about like your beginnings of with cosplay. And,
yes.
Like, how'd you get started? How long have you been doing it? Is this a since you were a kid thing?
Mm-hmm. So it generally boils down to I got into cosplay and enjoy it so much because I love the art so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been discovering different aspects of the arts that I find I enjoy and I can do adequately well for a while and through these past few years of cosplaying. I got into it officially in 2012, was the first time I attended a convention, the first year I cosplayed.
Where was that?
Anime Boston 2012 was the first convention that I attended. Which was, that was the year where they had their last rave. Oh. That's usually a good marker for everyone. It's the pre-rave and post-rave Anime Boston.
Yeah.
I yeah.
My first con was Anime Boston. It was probably 2008.
Yep. Okay.
And I was there for that rave and I had to purchase new nostrils. Because it was not pleasant.
Yes, yeah, I've heard that the raves are fun if you're into that, but to be prepared for everything else that accompanies a rave, a dance,
yes.
anything.
It's more being prepared for
the awkwardness.
Convention funk.
Yeah, convention funk and like the awkwardness of people who don't ever like do raves or get invited to those kinds of things.
Yep. The convention punk should be an obvious one.
Like when you get the pictures with people that like, and they're like this.
Oh, yeah. Like
if you're not looking, they want to try to feel you up. But as soon as you're looking at them and you give them permission to take a picture with you, they're like.
Yep. It's always so bad. So
what did you what did you dress up as?
So for Anime Boston, I had a plan with one of my best friends where we were going to cosplay Katara and Suki from Avatar: The Last Airbender together. But I underestimated the amount of time I would need for both costumes, especially Suki. Mm-hmm. So I prioritized and I actually finished her costume first.
Right.
So she had a costume, like an official, a full costume to wear that weekend. And I wore a casual Katara to accompany her for the sake of accompanying her. And then we also did casual Team Rocket because as it was my first year, she was like, this is a very large convention.
It's a huge undertaking to wear.
You're probably going to be overwhelmed by everything, which that's exactly what it was. It was sensory overload for everything. And
culture shock.
And culture shock, yes. But absolutely. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise that I didn't do my own and I prioritized having hers finished first because I got to sit back. I got to appreciate how much people enjoyed what I had made for her and her modeling it for me. I remember the Boston Globe, I think, they went in for a day and they took a photo of it. I lost the clipping, unfortunately. It was one of these things that I regret, but I lost the clipping. But they took a photo of her and she was in the Boston Globe publication for Anime Boston that year, which was really cool.
What year was that?
2012. Yes.
Was that the year that we did Casual Power Rangers? Civilian Power Rangers?
I think that was 2013.
Yeah, so we did... Because previously we had done Street Fighter.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
That's just a cool one to do.
It was so many people. Yeah. And it was me chasing down so many pieces for everybody.
Yeah.
And it was just like, next year.
Next time.
Like,
casual costumes are very underappreciated, I think. Because
especially if you do them right.
Exactly. Especially if you do them right, yeah.
They'll be super epic.
Yeah. They're just as eye-catching.
Then Lamariki printed up some Property of Angel Grove Fizz Ed shirts. Mm-hmm. And then we just wore those with our color.
That was
Jason, and everybody else had their different color on. And then we did Morphin Time in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, that was epic.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it was like, I am not driving myself crazy trying to find costumes for 12 other people this year.
It's a very big undertaking, yes.
But yeah. So speaking of like how everything is like, it can be a big undertaking. Like, what's the most frustrating part or the thing that nobody really sees by the time the end product comes?
I'd always say that the amount of time and effort is something that no matter how well-versed or how experienced a person is, they will never understand how much of you went into that because you're the person that's working on it. Sometimes you may have a struggle in one area or just not be as talented in one area of constructing a costume that someone else may be, like a good friend or just a fellow cosplayer. So I always say that is probably the number one on that list. The amount of time you give yourself to, and always underestimating what amount of time you need to finish a costume, that always comes back.
I'm doing that right now.
to haunt you.
I'm doing that right
and
now.
In every single project, it you can't avoid it. You think you give yourself enough time, and that never winds up being the case. You always run into an obstacle, no matter how well planned you have it. You can have a blueprint that's similar to an architect building a prison, and you'll still run into issues. So I would say that as well. And then always whenever you're trying something new, that's always frustrating because you're so excited to get a costume done and especially to wear that. I know I have that fault where I'm making something and I finish a piece. I get distracted putting that piece on and looking in the mirror, and I'm like, oh my God, this looks so cool. And I get carried away.
I gotta put it on the gram.
Yes. And then I forget I have to do everything else. And sometimes if I work on one piece one day, but my time constraint for work or what have you will not allow me to finish it in the same amount of time, and I have to work on it, say, a few days later, a week later, I'll forget to make notes of what I did, of my steps. Mm-hmm. So I'll mess up the second step, or I'll mess up the following piece, even though the first one came out, say, okay, right, or great. So you have to backtrack and do that again, and that's frustrating. So,
all right. Lam, you want to pull up some of them photos we were just about to look at? Because I had a couple questions in regard to...
Cool.
This is you as Flipper.
Yes.
All right. Yes. So, yes. Here we go. Now, I want to ask you a couple things about like the characters that you dress up as.
Sure thing.
Why do you pick them, like certain characters? And you can go into specifics.
Yeah.
You can go into specifics, and also just like, how is there a different feeling that comes with each character?
Yeah, absolutely. So definitely every character feels a little different. It's kind of like not being paid to do theater or television or a movie and being an actor in it, but you just get to experience it in your own light. Most of the characters that I go for tend to have the same personality traits that I do.
Those are?
Let's see. Miss Martian from Young Justice is what she's most famously known for, the animated series. Moana, a lot of Disney princesses, Pocahontas, Jasmine.
The award-winning Jasmine.
Award-winning Jasmine, yes.
Nice, that's coming up.
And then there are other characters where they kind of intrigue me for how compelling they were, their story arc. It really hit a chord in me with who they are, and then just Zatanna as well. Yes. And I just love the idea of completely transforming myself, so I'm always drawn to characters that involve body art and body paint.
Okay, that's cool,
because that's a full half the time. It's to me, it's both humorous but also so enjoyable, having running up to someone that I recognize and I greet them at a convention, for example, or just if I'm doing an event for charity or something, and I greet them, but they have no idea who they're talking to.
Right, yeah.
That's one of the coolest feelings for me.
So, yeah, and so, like, if you want to feel what way you dress up as Jasmine, or...
I don't think it's so much as what way I'm feeling, necessarily. It's more of a, I suppose, like, what am I attending? What am I doing? Taking a convention into context, for example. Okay. The distance of the convention, the amount of packing and how much time and effort goes into putting on costume. Like, if I'm commuting to a convention that's more distant, it's more difficult to do a full body makeup and drive, because that makeup will... start to just wear and look bad in the car,
like,
by the
say,
time
like
I arrive.
A Gamora,
right. It doesn't look as great. Whereas if I did it at the convention, it would be fresh, it would look nice, and I could also do touch-ups if I accidentally bump into anyone and it smears off.
But then it takes forever to do
if you commute, precisely, because you can carry all of that with you, but to set up in a public bathroom completely unsanitary.
So if you're like at a con and you have
never
a hotel
recommended.
Room.
Yes, right. Like, that would be one thing, but... to carry all that with you, or even to do it in your car, it's so inconvenient. Yeah. It's just not recommended.
My wife really thinks that she wants to do a Gamora cosplay one day, because she doesn't at all.
Gamora, like, is fun.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she's like, oh yeah, I want to do a Gamora. We should do the...
Can we have her just do Squirrel Girl?
She don't know who that is. She don't care.
She doesn't have to know.
She does. She has to know, like, everything.
She'd get great pictures in the Boston Common if she did. Just feed the squirrels there. That'd be...
Yeah,
she would blow up.
She's nobody's that. She needs to... Yeah, she needs to know. He's like, but,
That was...
That was. So, like, what's like the more difficult characters is like the ones that you have to do body paint or whatever?
I would say yes, yeah. The body paint ones would be more difficult. Usually the more experience I have with applying the makeup and wearing the character more frequently, the easier it becomes, but you can only tidy up and put on the makeup so quickly.
Yeah.
So either way, like, I remember the first time I practiced Miss Martian, because that was the first costume I ever did that involved body paint. Mm-hmm. I clocked in at nearly 3 hours just putting on the makeup, because I was completely inexperienced, I did not know Nicole I would mess up. That. Yeah.
She's not doing that.
But now, the last time I wore it, I think I managed to do it in a little over an hour. I think like an hour five, maybe an hour 10.
Oh, that's a good night out.
Yeah, that's
makeuping.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it wasn't too bad. Gamora, which was a costume I did for the first time a little over a month ago. I did a casual Gamora. That was another one where I clocked in at a little over 2 hours as well, mm-hmm. because that was the first time I was doing that makeup. And I was having to apply a lighter color for her her face details. I never know if I should call them tattoos or scars. It's never really defined what it is. But her
comic will say one thing, yes, the movie will say another thing. Yeah.
But the designs that she has on her face, those are lighter. They're a silver white, so it's always harder to layer a lighter tone on top of such a bold green color. So things like that, it's just a working process of knowing how to apply it best.
Nice. And so there has to be a reaction from, like, especially when you get to these cons and there's, children there.
Yes.
What's the reaction you get, especially, you know, you'd like to do a lot of princess cosplay. What kind of, what you get, the reception you get there?
Yes. The first reaction I ever got to any costume was Avatar Korra back when the show was released, the first season. I went to another anime convention as her for the first time, and there was a little girl accompanied by her parents, and she recognized me as though I was the real Korra. That was the first time I had ever experienced anything like that before, and I went along with it, and it was just such, I think it was one of the most redeeming feelings and just one of the most gratifying ones I ever had early on.
Yeah.
Because not only did it make her day, and I watched her just literally skip away with excitement, but it made me realize, oh, I nailed this character. I did a really great job with the costume from head to toe. So ever since then, I always strive to put my best effort, regardless of a costume budget or a struggle, to be my absolute best and do my absolute best with the costume. And as well as portray that character if I run into a kid. So characters like the Disney princesses, it's basically like, I guess, being a celebrity, because the kids just, they freak out. They flock towards you. All of their trust goes into you at that exact moment. You're a complete stranger, but at the same time, you're dressed as someone who's so warm and familiar to them that they give you their heart right there. So you treat it as greatly as you can and give them the number one experience for them to hold on to.
Yeah, I'm the opposite, because I always go as Bane. And so it's just like, you know, it's like my job to give them nightmare fuel.
Right.
And, you know, like a lot of them, it's like a couple that are just like, and then it's like the other ones that lean into it and they'd be like, well, I'm Batman.
Or right, whatever. Right.
It's like, so you have that exchange to where you're like a bad guy in wrestling. You
yes,
know?
Yes.
Like, I feel like he won't hit me, you know, so it's just like, yeah, but it's just like being able to play along and
that
give them that experience. So, and speaking of being like, you know, speaking of children, like what were your fandoms growing up? Like, what were you into?
Oof, a lot. A lot.
That's what happens when you come on Isla Powell. If you've been invited on Isla Powell, like, I felt something from you that lets me know that you had a lot of stuff to get into.
I'm trying to remember. Let's see. I watched a lot of Sailor Moon.
Oh yeah.
I watched some Dragon Ball. I watched more Digimon than I did Pokemon.
Wait, did you watch Dragon Ball because your brothers were watching it, or?
No.
Don't do that.
So, funny story. You coincidentally asked that question. The apartment that I lived at the time, I used to stay after school. My mother's friend who lived upstairs, she would watch me until my mother came home from work. And she had an older son that I, as a little girl, had a crush on. He's like preteen teen. So me being a 6-7 year old with like my first little crush, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to do the things that he does and like the things he likes. So he would watch a lot of Dragon Ball and he collected the action figures. So that's how I kind of got into that.
Okay.
Your crush made you do
it. My crush made me do it.
And that's the bad thing, because now I was like, I'm going, see, I told you, women only like anime to get guys' attention. That kind of thing. That's where that came from.
But yeah. I watched that.
That she did it on her own.
Digimon. When I was younger, I watched a lot more anime without realizing that it was anime. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until I was...
I think that's all of us.
Yeah, preteen, that I was like, oh.
Was like, oh, right, this is anime right. All the time.
Yeah, I would watch that. Cardcaptor Sakura. Mm. What else? One anime called Beyblade with the spinning tops that I was obsessed with. I still own some of those spinning tops.
That was all the way out of dueling
Yu-Gi-Oh! Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
Once Beyblade and Card Captors came out, I was like, I think I'm done with it.
No, those were some of my gateways into realizing what anime was. But before that, when I would watch Dragon Ball and Sailor Moon, and I would watch Justice League, X-Men, a Brazilian cartoon, which I don't know if anyone will know, but it's called Sítio do Pica-Pau Amarelo.
I don't know, but I like the way that sounds.
I'm into it.
That sounded great.
I think there was one that I watched that was actually, that got a lot of run in Brazil, called Macron 1. And it was like, if you look it up on YouTube, like the only thing you'll get is like...
Possibly. It sounds familiar. Yeah. A lot of the things that I watched as a kid had to coincide with the fact that when I spent my summers and extended periods of time visiting family in Brazil, the dubbed also had to be available there for me to watch.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I would be completely lost with my show. So.
Is this Macron?
That is Macron.
Yes. Yep. That was huge in Brazil.
All the music on that show slapped. And then they did like really unauthorized remakes and covers of a bunch of songs. Wow. So their version of Beat It is dope.
There were reruns of that in Brazil until they finally got Power Rangers dubbed and started playing that instead.
I swear, they were running Macron 1 into the ground over there. Yeah. Yep, definitely. Macron 1.
Or
Ghost Shogun.
Ghost Shogun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which he looks more like a Shogun than he does a Macron, whatever that's supposed to be.
The hell is that?
No idea.
I don't know what a Macron's supposed to be either.
No idea. But all right, so let's get practical.
Yeah.
We got a guest in the studio, another guest in the studio, who was just all off today with her cues. What do you want to do? We're trying to help parents who have last minute and low budgets. So Halloween is
nearly a
stone's throw away.
Yes, a fortnight away.
And so right here, blocking everyone's view of me, is my my pride and joy, Jada Lynn. Jada, you've been on the show several times. What are you doing for Halloween? Who are you going to be?
Bumblebee girl.
Hey, talking to the mic would be loud enough.
Okay, Bumblebee girl.
Bumblebee from DC. So we already have some stuff worked out, but not everybody else's kids are as fortunate as mine, because I like care to like make the costume.
Yeah.
Like, make it good. So what do we have that we can do with Jada right now?
I brought a couple of examples of, because this is what I used to experience a lot with my parents at home as well, never being too creative to either get a costume done.
Or get you a Ben Cooper.
Or something along those lines. But something that, again, kind of circling back to the casual cosplay, that can also be done for costuming and just Halloween costumes, is knowing how to piece the right clothing items or just items together. In fashion, it's referred to as color blocking a lot, mm-hmm. where you select the specific colors of a character and specific accessories and just design features of a character. You place it together. If you want to do a little makeup to enhance that, you will as well, in order to convey the message, the image, the costume mm-hmm. of, hey, I'm supposed to be this person.
Because, like, your Jasmine pants are, like, way fancier than the one that she actually...
Right, you know, right,
like,
yes.
So it's like, wow, that's, like, formal Jasmine.
It is, yes, yes, yeah. So, it's actually the reason why I brought the wig in to show as an example.
All right, how are we gonna get you in here, Kim?
Very quickly. She can stand right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to show as an example, so if you're looking at the, you want to squeeze in right there?
Okay.
There you go. So just as a quick example, like if you're looking at the headwear and the headgear of Jasmine, for example, you obviously put your hair up into a big ponytail or just fluff your hair up and, you know, make it
no problem.
Look as glamorous as an Arabian princess or just the princess you want to be. And then she likes wearing bling, even though the main animated movie, the feature, doesn't show that as well. But if you look at the merchandise mm-hmm. and the animated show and just all of the Aladdin merchandise that they have in general, the Jasmine merchandise, you'll see that she does wear a lot of bling and the blues. That's what she's well known for, is the blues. So if you were to tie in the fact that she wears, you know, the headband with the signature blue, something bling, and then her traditional top and pant, which are blue, you can easily tie that in together. So what I brought as an example is this headscarf right here that I have. And I also brought in this tiara, which this one is printed and sculpted out of silicone.
Mm-hmm.
But you could easily make this with if you pick a pretty lace, and you just place it down and you glue over it, you Mod Podge it enough so that it stiffens up.
Yeah.
You can cut it out into any tiara shape that you want and just put it on a headband like this.
Mod Podge, you can find that at Michael's or
craft
any
stores.
Craft store.
Yeah,
that has,
yeah.
You can get the tiny bottle and it'll last you a little while so you don't have to worry about it.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then jewelry, if you have a family member that's trying to dispose of jewelry, or even if you go to a dollar store or, again, a craft store, somewhere cheap, and you pick a pretty gem, a jewel that you want, you can place it on there as well and make it simpler to use. So to use this as an example...
Get in there, Jays.
All right.
We're going to glamour you up, kid. Those of you listening, we are now putting...
Putting a scarf around her.
Jasmine.
Are we going to do Ninja Jasmine, the one that was...
Oh, yeah, with the hood, and she unveiled on him,
you
like...
You can, yeah, watch. Ready? I'll put this
She was like, fam, right, leave him alone! And it was like, get out of here, street rat!
Yeah, okay.
She was like, oh, for real? That's how you feel, dog? He was like, what was my man's name? Was he... Why
he
I want to say...
Captain of the Guards.
Why would I want to call him, like, Rasul or something like that? But he was...
There we go. So this is just a little example from what I had at home that I could bring in and do very quickly. But if you have accessories like this at home, or even if you can just find, it's knowing how to find the right pieces and just color blocking, finding the right items that fit the silhouette. Go right ahead. of the character that you want to be. And just putting it all together, because it does convey, it does show through.
All right. You like it? Enough? All right. So we got some work to do with your bumblebee. Thank you, Jada, for coming through and hanging out for a little bit. You gonna rock that? You got anything else you wanna advertise anything?
No.
Put anything out there? You got a mixtape coming out? No?
You got your YouTube channel up yet?
Not yet. I don't know. I need to, like, if for her YouTube channel, I need to, like, be able to physically be by everybody's computer. Make sure, like, no, y'all got to watch this video one at a time, fam. You going to do a YouTube channel? Okay. Coming soon. Have to help. Of course. All right.
She's gonna be the new JoJo Siwa. Mm-hmm.
All right, kid. Thanks for stopping by.
You want help taking it off? Yeah. Hold on.
Yeah, because you get tangled all the time.
Yeah. That's a different Disney movie. Thank you.
See you, kid. She's going to definitely make noise after she sits down. But, yeah, so it's just like those practical kind of things. Like,
yes.
Was the, you know, it doesn't cost $1 billion.
Right,
to do.
Right.
Do you have any other...
I did just bring another example. Quick one. Just again to show how much any old piece of clothing, old or new, that you can find can sometimes fit a character.
And please hit a thrift store.
I found this thrifting actually, yes. So it's perfect that you mentioned that.
Beetlejuice,
Jack Skellington, yes. So many different. If you're doing different styles of Addams Family.
Yeah.
You don't have to buy a costume or slave over a sewing machine to make a perfect exact costume if your only intention is to wear it for one Halloween. You can find pieces either in your own closet if you don't have it, or if you go out thrifting. There's so many options available to find.
I found some gold in at the thrift shop. So.
Most of my casual cosplay pieces that I've done, they have all come from thrifting. Thrifting. There we go.
Yeah, we found. No, who's it? Crystal found the that one rogue jacket, the one that the yeah,
mm-hmm.
The piece de resistance.
Yeah,
it was like, oh yeah, we found that here, and it was just like. The sleeves were young enough to where, like, and she could just get her arms in just enough.
Right, right.
Yeah, it was dope.
It's super helpful. And then from there, if you have, great example, again, the road jacket. If you're going 90s X-Men and you want to add the patch or other accents and details, that's where you can go to a craft store. And you can keep it low budget, keep it cheap, yeah. If that's, you know, your budget or if that's what you're aiming to do, you don't want to spend a whole lot.
And also, a new leather bomber is expensive.
It is expensive, yes. Yeah. So
just so that you can, you know, right. Tear it up.
Either you want to invest or if it's just a throwaway piece, that's where you can look into other smaller, simple craft items like puff paint, which goes very well on clothing. And you can use that to add your little details, make a fake patch to put on for like an X-Men bomber or something of the like. Just... things like that, just working
Etsy
on
Etsy shops
things.
Too.
Etsy as well.
Is a,
yeah.
A pretty good option because people are not usually trying to break your bank when they come out with something.
Exactly.
But you can find the
that
the
tiara that I just showed was from Etsy as mm-hmm. well.
You can find some pretty good stuff.
Right.
Just
right.
Like going through, digging through everybody mm-hmm. else's stuff as well.
And sometimes, honestly, just asking friends and family. Someone is always trying to get rid of something, mm-hmm. be it clothing, be it something that can be used for props. So ask, just, you know, we have the internet, post on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, what have you, and say, hey, I'm looking for something that looks similar to this if you're getting rid of it. And if it's in my size or if it's something I can work with, send it my way.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to guide my little one over here to the restroom.
Sure.
Real quick. But let's talk about cosplay makeup safety.
Yes.
Because you had an...
Yes.
If you want to share a story.
So with the lovely Sally Stitches that I just made, that I just cosplayed recently, she was an absolute blast to cosplay. I've never cosplayed a character that's kind of creepy, kind of more Halloween style, where I can be fun, but also I can be a little bit audacious, mischievous. Yeah. I had the misfortune of getting a chemical burn from that makeup. Now, it wasn't an issue with the brand. I've always used the same brand of makeup for my body paints, and I've never had an issue with it. I found that my setting powder was expired.
That matters?
It does. Yes, it is very important.
Oh,
on makeup, at least... every makeup that is safe, there will be on the back of the packaging what looks like a little, it'll look like a little, like a, like a beauty cream, a night cream pot on the back.
Yeah.
And there will also always be a number and the letter M. From the moment you open that makeup, that is how many months it has until it expires. Mm. Okay. So it is very important. Now, this varies between different kinds of makeups. Usually powders, they last the longest, but regardless, I've had that powder I mean, it was expired by well over a year, and I haven't used it in over a year, so that's where I
warning,
made my
they turn
great
into
mistakes.
Acid. Like,
that's where I made my mistake.
I can't believe things like that. Because imagine if you're only cosplaying, let's say, 2 shows a year.
Right.
And that
right.
means you'd have to buy all of that makeup all over again because it's right. like a 6-month expiration. And you're like, I only used a dab of it.
Yes, yeah. Well, that's where I suppose it's also important for a person to look at how much they want to, how much they're going to invest in that costume versus how much time it's really realistically going to be used. Because if you are, again, only attending 2 conventions a year, if you are doing a character that has bright, colorful makeup right. Or body paint where you're enhancing that body paint with more colorful eyeshadows, something that's very pigmented, it's not very worthwhile to invest in something so expensive that right. you're going to use for so little amount of time and then just throw it in the trash. Because mm-hmm. then that's, you know, that's
yeah,
just
because,
throwing
yeah,
away your money.
And then, you know, if you try to put it on, it turns into acid, apparently.
It does. It's not fun at all. If you've never had a chemical burn, I would avoid it at all costs. It was not just not a fun time.
Yeah,
I was dealing
terrible.
With it for a little over a week was the amount of time from when it set on to when it actually aggravated itself at its worst. It probably took 3 or 4 days. It just kept getting worse and worse. That was terrifying. And then after that, it took a solid week of recovery. I couldn't wear any makeup. I went through all of the makeup that I had. Anything that was close to expiring, I already tossed because I didn't want to run that risk. And then the powder that was.
So does regular makeup expire like this?
It does. Damn. Any makeup expires.
Don't know.
No, but that's why it's important to know. Yeah, that's why it's important to know. A lot of people are unaware of it. I was unaware of it until one of my very good friends, who is a makeup artist, when I started working with her, she was the one that really opened my eyes and told me you have to be careful with not only your hygiene of applying makeup, making sure if you're dipping into a product that is cream-based or paste-based to always scrape off the top and start fresh so that none of that bacteria is festering there. Because that you may wash your face and have it be very clean and apply it well. But either way, whatever you put on your face there, you're re-dipping back into the palate. So it's never a good idea.
Everything, humans are just nasty. Like, human beings are just gross. Like,
you can be very clean, but there's still bugs that live inside your skin. And you're putting them on your makeup.
Just like,
and
so glad I don't put on
I heard somebody tell, like, a friend of mine was like, rub your finger here and then smell it. And it's always, don't do it. It's gross.
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure, like.
Don't do it.
I have, like, a beard wash that I can use. It's like.
Nah.
But that.
I was just like, why are we we're just sacks of skin and bacteria, and we're just so gross. But.
Oh, yeah. So. Being
speaking
safe with
of
your
which,
makeup,
sexy costumes.
Oh, gosh.
So we have this thing, every year we make fun of the sexy costume. Like we had we were talking about the difference between the male and female costumes and, like, you know, the Ninja Turtle would be a Ninja Turtle and then the girl's Ninja Turtle would be like a very tight dress and weapons.
Always.
So, take us through,
some of the worst.
Yeah.
I mean, there are some male costumes, not all of them, it's very few and far between, but usually the male costumes that involve showing a chest of any kind, that chest piece will not only be so poorly fabricated, but it will just be so over the top and just the most unrealistic.
The Garçon one was pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Which one?
The Garçon from Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
Because he's got to have like 5
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
right.
So it's amazing.
And they are, there are, or at least there were, some costume stores where they sold the body piece, the chest piece, where you can put it under the very thin, because the costume was very thin. Right, most Halloween store costumes are very thin material. So you could put the chest and the abs underneath so that you looked like you had Gaston's,
With, like, muscle suits. Like, I couldn't. I have a problem with, like, muscle suits. Like, it was just, like, now I just, I'm, like, I don't, for one, I don't need them. And so it's just, like, if I try to put it on, it'd be, like, I'd be walking around like this. This I don't know.
It's
like, just be happy with it. Just, you know, use what you got, man. But we were talking about, I've actually seen a sexy corn costume.
Those are bad. Those are rough.
We're talking about food costumes.
Corny.
Oh.
Yeah. Ah. I don't know that Pee Wee's Playhouse noise. And then,
there's talking a lot about of bad food ones. Yeah.
Food, and that's weird because then I like open. I don't know because we. I don't want to again. I don't. It's, we're not here to kink shame, but
of course not.
I think that.
But there are some costumes where you're like, I would like to know what that person's thought process was. You know, so, that exists. That's totally valid.
It's like grapes. It's like
what? I was about to mention that I've seen maybe this was 2 or 3 years ago. I think it was costumes from the vineyard. It was kind of like a Roman Greek god meets a vineyard.
Okay.
The men's had the closest thing that they could create to a toga without being a toga.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some grapes hanging over the shoulder and then some very smartly placed grapes around the waist of the toga. Mm-hmm. And then the women's, it was just a grape top.
It was like two
and then
grapes,
the grape booty short.
It was like two grapes here. And then like, you know, like a grape bikini,
yes,
like the rest
of it.
It was
just bunches
like the,
of grapes.
The rest of the bunch.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Although, Fruity Looms had the best
grapes. Hey, yeah. Like,
true.
I would love to like show up to my wife dressed up like an apple. Like, hey, what up, though? It's your boy. Compelling protagonist. Handsome apple.
Another awful one I've seen. Back when the Ebola scare was a thing, was a sexy Ebola costume.
What?
Yeah, that was the one where I made a point of trying to remember that one because.
Oh my!
If you look it up, it's.
I know you're already on it. But
it's a biohazard suit, but it was cut where you had like the booties that came just below the knees, and like a little dress top kind of thing.
I'm tired of everything. Oh, I'm sick of it. Oh,
yeah, there it is.
It would not work.
It's going to work for this, like, there's a sub for this.
All right, show it to the audience. Let him see it.
Sexy Ebola. That's
sexy Ebola.
Yeah, because what's sexier than contracting a very deadly virus?
Oh, jeez. You don't really have that high of a chance of getting it anyway.
It's like, don't worry, I'm here to get rid of your biohazard.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's just weird.
It is. It's okay. Just, that one, to this day, top of my list, is just the most bizarre costumes I've ever seen. But food is up there because why? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're going to make a food sexy. Sexy babies, I've always found very disturbing.
No. Oh, God, no.
I don't like that either.
Oh, no.
It's already odd enough to see, bizarre enough to see an adult dressed as a baby, ironically as a joke, but unironically as a costume, as a sexy baby, air quotes. That's just...
I punched somebody in the face.
That's too many lines crossed for me.
Yeah. So, going back to pulling this back into the regular world.
Yes, please.
What are you doing after, like, how do you know a cosplay has gotten to its end of life and, you know, when you have to get rid of a piece or something, like, what is that?
That's something that I've kind of been tossing up in my head now with a couple of costumes, and I suppose the reason why I haven't parted ways with some of them is because I don't have photos that I'm proud of to keep as keepsakes and memories of those costumes. That would be a big one for me. And
I feel you getting bummed right
it
now.
It kind of is because you put, it's also the amount of work that you put into it, you know, like knowing, even if you are, you know, reselling it to another cosplayer that would like to use it, or just reselling it online to someone that would enjoy using it. It's you parting ways with a learning curve that you had and a learning, mm-hmm. a growth spurt that you had there. So it is a little hard. It's like saying goodbye to like an imaginary friend from childhood. Like, I guess that's the kind of thing that you can relate to.
It's like saying goodbye to the evidence of an imaginary friend. Yes,
yeah. It's like when you're growing up. Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I feel like...
And you know what? You have a lot of friends that you've made doing this too, mm-hmm. so...
I do, yeah.
You're like...
That's the other thing. Like, some of them are very sentimental. I'd say one of the... My flame for it has kind of been reignited for Miss Martian because mm-hmm. Young Justice Season 3 is coming back.
Finally. But that
costume, I know, finally. That costume in general is one that I'm kind of ready to part ways with. But that was the first costume that I wore that I had fully made myself. Mm. It was the first time I worked with spandex. It was a lot of firsts for that costume. First body paint, first light wig styling, first everything. So that was such a huge learning experience for me, and I made so many friends and so many people that when they record, they're like, oh, how did you meet this person? Oh, it says Miss Martian, and some of our very first photos together as friends is myself in that costume. So it's one of those things where it's also a little bittersweet,
mm-hmm.
that you want to be letting go of it, but at the same time you don't. So I guess just knowing when the time is right, knowing that you have great memories from it, both personal and shared with other people, then it's kind of, once you've outgrown it, then you've outgrown it, and it's better to give it to someone else that would put good use into it. So
I think the donating it is probably better than just like seeing it balled up and like, you know, that's what,
because that's just worse. You just leave it in like the floor of your closet in the corner there, and it's just mopey.
Or or you have a wife or mother who's like, oh, are you done with this trash? Oh my
gosh, can you imagine if you put it away and like years later you have a kid and they pull it up, like, what's this?
What is this?
Oh gosh.
Oh, here's a match back from when I used to cosplay.
Mom, what's cosplay? Well, now that we're all sufficiently bummed, I guess that's it.
Damn, we're gonna end on a low note. That's awful.
No,
how
Mike pulled up the sexy Ebola costume.
Yeah. Oh, there we go.
So we definitely gotta go. Oh my god.
Oh, there we go. Oh, look at that.
Oh jeez. That's beautiful.
There we go. We end on a better note now.
That is just terrible. Well, I'm ready to say goodbye off that. Thank you, Tatiana, for coming by. A delight.
Absolutely.
Once you come on, you're always welcome to come back.
I would love to. This has been a blast. Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, and if you want to share your socials.
It's Morena Fantasy, so MorenaFantasie. I believe I just spelled that all correctly.
You did.
Nailed it. On Instagram, on Facebook, and I have a YouTube channel that's been dead for 3 years.
Mm.
There is just 3 videos on them, and they're all starkly different from one another. It's an April Fool's prank that I did on my little brother, a harmless one. Me playing the very first notes of Adele's Hello back when that was a huge fad.
Oh, yeah, that was Jada's graduation song. This is really weird.
Yeah. And then me doing a Jasmine speed through makeup tutorial. So those are the only 3 things. Nothing else on there.
All right.
Thinking about getting back into it.
Spoiler alerts on everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, every year you're invited to come back whenever. You know, you want to join us for the kickball game.
Absolutely.
I have to do now that I said it and I put it out in the air.
Yeah.
Either that or flag football.
Flag football, either way.
We could share the worst Halloween costumes that we saw on Halloween on that day.
We can do that. Absolutely. gotta get Hudson in here for that. Because I want to do a Rumble next week. if at all possible, Halloween dedicated Rumble. So
I feel. Do you want to talk to everybody?
I don't want to cut a promo here, but since you put the camera so close, I guess I have to. Yeah, I am calling out four people. Hudson?
Yeah.
Who's already said he's going to do it anyway, if we do it. Shanarchy. Trying to get her in here. Nancy's doing the two job thing now, isn't she?
Yeah, well, she's going to get fired.
Poot.
Oh, no.
Two other people. We'll drum them up. Well, definitely. But those two, I definitely want to get back in here. I want to get Hudson back in here. Shanarchy in here for the first time, because I don't think anybody likes Halloween as much as she does. Writer Misa Lett, definitely. She listens and she watches, so I definitely want to get her in here. Anybody else? Travoy, we gotta get Travoy back in.
Oh yeah, since he won that last championship.
He won a chip, and then the other tournament. Well, I'll let him talk about that when and if we can get him in here. But other than that, guys, that's it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being with us again. And thank you for listening. And thank you for coming back next week. So until then, love, trust, and belief. Love you. Peace. I crack a window in between for the morning breeze. Of course we eat, but tonight's your main course is me. So when I leave, she say text me. Boy, don't you ever forget me. Sex me. Boy, I'm too sexy for my shirt. So get undressed and go to work. I know you think it's come get messy in the dirt.